Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Dirt and Sprague continues.
So your wife tells you something. I need to know, where are we going with this?
Andy Dirt Johnson.
She said, you know what I think we should contemplate buying? She wants to put our kid on a leash.
Brandon Sprague.
It's like seeing randomly a tiger in a zoo. You just feel awful for it.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Look, she's an unbelievable mom. She carries all the weight in our family. I have to preface all this because she says I only throw her under the bus on the air. So you just threw her
on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. It's the second hour. Dirt and Sprague here, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Yes. That was how a lot of Blazer fans reacted with the final outcome of the Rocket game last night.
Shout out the Hoggies.
Shout out the Avdias.
The Avdias got the job done last night. The
Fighting Avdias. Tied his career high with 41 points. We'll get to that today.
Yeah, nice little dub.
A lot to get to in the second hour. We have a college football playoff game, and it's very odd to me that it's a Thursday. The whole schedule's weird.
You mean a sport that plays all season on Saturdays, ending their last three games of the year on a Thursday night, Friday night, and Monday night, doesn't make any sense? Is that what you're telling me?
It just doesn't hit. No, it doesn't resonate.
It'll resonate when the game kicks off, but I'm 100% in agreement with you right now. Of like, it doesn't feel like there's a game tonight, but I know I'm going to watch one tonight.
Yeah, but I'll say this, like, when I say resonates, like, I wake up excited about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I will watch the game. Yes, we will talk about it. There'll be a national championship team involved.
Somebody's punching their ticket tonight.
But even while I'm watching that, I will still be sitting on my couch like, this is so weird. It's Thursday. But we have Ole Miss and we have Miami.
I'm glad that my team is the Friday night game. I will say that.
Because
I prefer
of the week, because
just
of the
going
off
into the weekend, just the feeling of a win or a loss, not having to do, you know,
but
wake
you'd rather
up
be at the Fiesta Bowl, wouldn't you?
I would much rather be at the Fiesta Bowl. Without a doubt.
Yeah, exercise those demons in Atlanta, my man.
They should have changed the locations. Why can't we do that based on geography? It makes a lot more sense for Ole Miss and Miami to play down in Atlanta.
Was that about Indiana? I think it's about Indiana.
I think it was just decided on the bracket when it was released. Like, those are the quarter, their semifinal
it's
sites,
not about
and
the
it's
teams?
Not about the teams. That's only for the quarterfinals. Okay. You do that based on geography, and then these ones are locked in. But you should be able to flip them.
Well, there's a lot with this, and I feel like most of this has been Ole Miss based because you've got these coaches that want to coach, but they're not being allowed to because the portal's open. Lane's supporting the program, but he's not because he's the coach of a different program. So he's not allowing the coaches to coach the program. Pete Golding's at a press conference. I'm watching him and Mario sit 4 feet from each other. It's so odd.
The Pete Golding highlight yesterday that I loved was they walked out. They do these photo ops to start the presser.
Oh, yeah.
Where you hold on to the
helmet
next to the trophy. And Pete Golding walks out, never doing any of this before, grabs the helmet, and he's like smiling. He's like, man, this is so cool. And all the cameras are taking pictures.
Mario's just
deadpanning. He pans over to Mario, who's just like looking like he's about to assassinate somebody. And you could see in real time the smile from Pete Golding's face. Wiped off completely. And then he gives you his serious mean game face. I'm like, dude, smile. Have some fun, man. You're in the Fiesta Bowl. This is cool.
So Ole Miss Miami. And I know we said this going into the Georgia game, but I feel like we're kind of doing it again, or maybe you think I'm wrong on this. It feels like people are kind of penciling in Miami.
Yes, I agree with the assessment.
And I'm so curious to see how Chambliss plays against that defense, because Georgia's good, but
yes.
Miami's defense is debatably the best unit defensively left in the playoff right now.
Yeah, for sure it is.
It's really what's carried them most of the year.
Yep.
And so I'm excited to see how Chambliss responds, how Ole Miss looks given their coaching situations. But also, Mario is on the doorstep of getting to a national freaking championship.
Yes, he is.
It's one of those, I had a good take, and then I kind of jumped off the take. But now I'm going to use my first version of that take and tell you I was kind of right of Miami might be able to win a national championship this year.
They very well might. They're one of the four remaining teams left. Their odds are very good to do so. And I do agree with your assessment of kind of the public opinion on this, that everybody's penciling Miami through. I think the vast majority of America right now, if you were to ask them who's going to be the national championship game, they would tell you Miami versus Indiana. I think those are the easy favorites from a perception standpoint across the country. But to the point of Ole Miss, like, I did it to them against Georgia. I didn't give Ole Miss a chance in hell at winning that game. Everything going on with their coaching situation, the guys coming and going, Georgia just demolished Alabama in the SEC championship game. They were playing great football at the end of the season, seemingly peaking at the right time. Back-to-back years as SEC champ. I didn't see that outcome in a million years.
Even at halftime, I didn't feel
it. No.
Because they were down 11, right, at
yes,
halftime?
Yes, you had the scoop and score. And yeah. The moment that scoop and score happened, you're like, this game's over. And then you look up and Chambliss is playing elite. I think the interesting thing about this game is that in almost every category, in almost every position on the roster, Miami is better than Ole Miss. Offensive line, Miami. Defensive line, Miami. Weapons, probably Miami. Total defense, Miami. Like, you go through the list of things.
You think Miami's weapons are better than Ole Miss's?
I mean, look, maybe there's a, you know, you're splitting hairs in 1A, 1B, but God, Miami's got some incredible talent on the outside. The ultimate nullifier for all of that is what? It's elite quarterback play. If we see,
you think Carson Beck? I thought he was. I know his numbers weren't amazing. I thought he was good against Ohio State.
Fine, he was okay. He got the job. He didn't lose the game. I'm not going to sit here and act like throwing for 130 yards is a great game.
Well, again, his numbers were not good.
They won that game because they had a defensive touchdown and he didn't turn the football over. That's why they won
so
the game. They held Ohio State to 14, and oh, by the way, they added seven of their own. You take away the defensive score, it's a 17-14 game.
Yeah.
Turnovers were massive in that game. Julian Sain threw a couple of picks. So Chambliss has the ability, and I think this is the same case as the Georgia game. I think Georgia's almost better universally from a roster standpoint than Ole Miss is at every position on the field. What was the difference? They didn't have an answer for Chambliss, and he was making plays out of thin air that shouldn't have been there. And if he does that again tonight, Ole Miss has a great chance to go do it.
So here's my only rebuttal, because I think if you were to break it down from a star point of view, you're right, but if they're operating without like half the staff, maybe we should be reconsidering this. Like, Chambliss, we all saw what he was. He was awesome. His ability to get away from the defensive lineman.
Running 30 yards backwards and then making a 20-yard completion for a first down. That's the only quarterback in the playoff that can do that.
You're just watching those big boys and you're going, God, I feel bad for you having to chase that dude around.
Yeah.
You can't prepare for that. But also, like, maybe there's something more to than, as great as he is, he also seems to have pretty damn good playmakers around him.
Yeah.
And so,
I think that helps having a quarterback that can find those guys and make those plays and extend plays and play backyard football.
I understand that. I'm just saying, I think we have to have some form of an ability to say, well, I thought X and Y was going to happen. It didn't. So maybe I need to reconsider how I view the entirety of the team, not just the one player.
Yeah, look, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Ole Miss. I think they have a very talented roster, and it's a good football team. You don't go 11-1 in the SEC without having a good football team. I think the sole reason that they beat Georgia is that they had Superman at quarterback. He had 362 passing yards in that game against Georgia and scored 39 points against that good defense. You know how many total passing yards Carson Beck has in two playoff games?
Is it like 250?
It's 241. Total in two games. He threw for 103 yards in
the
touchdown.
Well, they're running the ball.
Well, and look, to be fair to him, the A&M game had a lot of wind and bad weather and funky stuff going on. So I'm not even saying he's been bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying Miami doesn't need Carson Beck to be elite to win. They just need him to not screw it up. And that's the ultimate question that I have with Ole Miss, is that if Miami is able to win up front and that pressure wins and their defensive line is getting after them and maybe they can't run the football as effectively as they did against Georgia, do you still think Ole Miss can win this game? If Trinidad Chambliss goes from 30 of 46, 362, two tuds and no picks to, you know, the completion percentage goes down, he throws for 240, one touchdown, one interception. Is that a stat line that Ole Miss can win with? And I don't think that it is.
Well, so that I think the tough part here is, do you think they're going to be able to pass on Miami?
I do. I think he's good enough to throw the ball on anybody. The only concern I have with the style that they play is that it leaves you open for negative plays and explosives the other way.
So you don't think there's an ability for him to establish, it's almost a reverse of what we traditionally say for football, of establish the run, set up the pass.
I think it's the opposite. I think you need Chambliss
making. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then Lacy goes out.
Well, that's what we saw against Georgia, right?
Right.
He's making all these incredible plays and then the defense is head spinning and you're like, oh my God, we can't get a handle on this guy, and all of a sudden Lacy has 98 rushing yards in the game.
Because Miami gave up 201 yards during the ACC play.
Yeah.
In the passing department. So defensively, if I'm looking at that, I'm like, okay, they're fourth in their conference. We don't respect that conference that much, but they were fourth. We know how good they are. They got some hoggies up front.
They do.
If you're telling me it's 200 on an average basis, that dude could go for three.
Yeah. Yeah, and that gives him a puncher's chance to win the game.
Right.
If he has a game like that, they got a great shot to pull it off.
The worst possible thing that happens here is that defense can't quite be as elite as it has been in their other two contests. And I don't know, does Miami, this is what I wonder about Miami, because they also have some playmakers. For all the questions about Beck, can Miami keep up with Ole Miss's offense if it becomes like a scoring fest?
If it ends up to be a game like the Sugar Bowl was 39-34.
Right, because we have two examples now in the playoffs, specifically with Miami, where we know what kind of game they want.
Yes, they want 17-14, 21-14, 13-9.
Fourth and two, Mario's going to punt because he wants this to stay 9-6.
Yes, don't turn the football over, play defense, and run the ball. That's how Miami wins.
Right.
So that's what I think this is the beauty of styles make fights, and they're very different teams at this point. The other big looming question that I have, like I heard a take this week that I thought was valid that I hadn't thought about yet, because we've talked a lot about Ole Miss and the negative of what they're dealing with their coaching situation. And I think it was Peter Burns who made the argument. I wonder if there is a coming together aspect of Lane Kiffin being gone and it's actually helped them internally of having this distraction and this kind of rallying cry of like, all right, he left us and it's a motivating factor for them more than it is a nuisance of not having your head coach. And it was an interesting spin, and I certainly didn't give Ole Miss a chance to beat Georgia, so I started to wonder maybe there's some validity to that. The other big looming question that I have in this game, outside of what can Miami's defense do against Chambliss and can they bottle him up? If they do, I think they win the game. But also on the other side of it, like to be fair to Carson Beck in Miami, they haven't done much offensively, nor have they needed to. They've scored a total offensively of like 27 points in two games. But can Ole Miss's defense do to Miami what Ohio State and Texas A&M did? Or is this a game where we see Miami's offense be able to open it up? Because the strength of Ole Miss all year has not been their defense. First time they played, their only loss of the year was the Georgia game. That was a 50-something, 40-something game. They gave up 34. Now, one of them was a defensive touchdown, but they gave up a lot of points and yards to Georgia at times in that game. That's the only other question I have coming in. Is Ole Miss's defense is good? It's not quite on the caliber as the other three teams remaining in the playoffs, and so does Miami end up having some matchups that they could take advantage of and then make Ole Miss try and play catch-up?
Yeah, Ole Miss's rush defense is their bigger weakness. They were 12th in the SEC. They were giving up 146 points.
And what does Miami want to do?
Yeah.
So that's the biggest. Can you slow down the run game of Miami and make them play from behind and make Carson Beck beat you?
But if you can't, that's when you're going to encounter the play action bomb to Malachi Toney.
Yeah, look, I mean, somebody texted earlier this week and was like, when's Dirk going to apologize to Mario Cristobal, which I love the sentiment.
Well, I want to talk about that angle of this. A lot of Ole Miss attention, right? Pete Golding, and he had some good stuff yesterday, his press conference. I'm more fascinated by that side, it's by Miami
huge,
and Mario.
Dude. Mario, I think that's the most interesting storyline of me of the Final Four. Golden kind of aside, because he's only been a head coach for one or two games, is just the what it means for one of these guys to win a national championship. Mario winning a national title, right? Kurt Cignetti winning a national championship, Dan Lanning winning a national championship, and what that means for their programs and where they're elevated into a certain status tier.
Right.
Be massive.
Right. Let's get to that side. Mario Cristobal on the doorstep of a natty. Will he get there, or will he get in his own way? We'll talk about that next. Hour number two rolls on. Dirt and Sprague 105.1 The Fan.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Welcome back. 718, 105.1 The Fan. Want to remind you guys, the Ducks are in the Peach Bowl. The Fan is hitting the road with a watch party at Thirsty Lions Washington Square location, Dirt. And Anthony Newman get things started with Ducks Game Day presented by Coors Light on location at noon. Join the Fan Friday, January 9th at the Thirsty Lion Washington Square for the rematch of Oregon-Indiana in the semifinals. We will talk about those Oregon Ducks and Indiana Hoosiers coming up. We've got a quarterback claiming they're the underdog.
Oh, we got a dog? Got a dog claim?
We got a coach saying, I don't know how we're going to beat the best coach team in football.
Oh, well, one guy did win the Coach of the Year award this morning.
Maybe that Coach of the Year doesn't think he's Coach of the Year.
Oh, are we getting rat poison? You giving me rat poison the day before the game?
I think you got a lot of respect going your way. And how do you replace Jordan Davison? Will Stein says, next man up.
Next man up, baby.
We'll get to that coming up. We'll talk about the Blaze. Blazers win against the Houston Rockettes. The buzzer beater that wasn't.
Yeah, kind of a weird way to end a game.
Maybe the most angry I've heard Kevin Calabro as the play-by-play guy last night.
Yeah.
On the call of that debatable,
not happy
is that a foul
that.
Or is that a steal?
No, that was incidental contact.
Incidental contact.
What about that?
Scratch marks.
Man, Did you see Jong Hanson?
Jong Hanson was getting down last night.
Looked like he battled a raptor. He had claws all over his arms.
A bear last night, man.
I also had.
He was going up against Steven Adams.
He was.
That is a bit of a bear. He's a bit of a.
I had Ha Sung Jin PTSD kick in last night. There was some really stupid moments there.
I think a lot of us, you know, it happens.
Happens to the best.
I was also told he wouldn't play with another big. He was on the floor a lot with Rob Wills.
That happened. Yeah, we're going Twin Towers now.
Yeah, they. Somebody on this program said they might do it. Man, I was called an idiot.
You're
straight up an idiot.
An idiot.
But it was happening last night.
You're an idiot.
Let's get back into the college football playoff. Hold your Blazer takes.
Okay.
Mario Cristobal could win tonight and be in the national championship. I also think, despite what that listener says of Dirt, you ready to eat Mario Crow, there's a lot of other people going, yeah, well, let's see how he loses this game.
I've already eaten Mario Crow. I gave him credit weeks ago, so thank you for the thought. It is funny. I've made a lot of fun of Mario over the years, particularly when he loses games. I like rooting against my exes. I mean, the second that they went on the run late in the year, advocated for them to make the playoff, going on the road and beating A&M in their first playoff game, where A&M wasn't, you know, the best team in the country, but that's a really tough place to go in and play. They were great defensively. Miami's defense is one of the worst in the country last year, and it's not easy as a coach to turn that around in one offseason. We've seen examples of that fail time and time and time and time again. He had the ability to do it. Offense was not their issue. Their offense has been fine, not as good as it was last year because you don't have a Heisman Trophy finalist at quarterback. Beck's been fine. Defensively is what has led them. And if I would have told you that 12 months ago off of the season we were having with Miami, you probably would have laughed at me. That's how bad they were early in his tenure. And so I've given him his flowers. There's never been the thought about his inability to go find talent and get the best players possible. That's always been his biggest strength, and it's been on display here so far in the playoffs.
If you give Cam Ward's offense this year's defense,
they're winning a national championship.
They might have been able to beat Ohio State.
They would have been very good last year. I mean, they were already very good. They would have been elite last year.
Yeah, I'm still in a weird place about this because I do think Miami is going to win tonight. However, that being said, I'm also going to see Miami in the national championship in that scenario, and I'm not going to pick them to beat Oregon or Indiana.
You would take Oregon over Miami if they went on
Oregon
Friday?
If Oregon beats Indiana, yep. That tells me the Oregon defense played damn near close to how they did against Tech and limited the Indiana offense to a low number.
And you kind of like the matchup there,
they
maybe.
They got a pass rush on Mendoza, and the offense clearly had no issue replacing Jordan Davison and looked much better than they did the week prior. That's what that would tell me. So in that instance, yeah, I would take Oregon to beat Mario.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean it's a guaranteed thing that it would happen because he could still go on and win the game. But I understand the logic.
We could get Indiana Ole Miss after tonight.
We very well could. We could get Oregon Ole Miss. You never know,
yeah,
man.
Exactly. Nobody knows how this whole thing's going to shake out. I just... Pate had something. He was on our show yesterday, but he had something that I saw on his locker room show with the Bussin guys. And he said he talked to Mario 3 years ago. He's doing an interview. He's doing his coach's interviews. And he was hanging with Mario in the office. And I totally agree with this because we've seen it in person. Mario off camera, different Mario than on camera.
Yes.
Mario on a radio interview is not the Mario that'll have a conversation if you're able to talk to him.
No.
But he basically Mario was talking about how much he was tired of hearing when he got hired. From all of the alums, the former players, all they kept saying to him, same thing. When's the U going to be back? And without saying it, but kind of saying it, is like, we're never going to be what the 80s and 90s were.
No.
Because they cheated. But, you know, he didn't say that. He's just like, we're never going to be what that was.
Well, the sport's just different now. You can't stockpile talent the way that Miami did back in the day.
I always look at it as a bagman era, and that's what they're kind of saying without saying it.
Yeah, yeah.
That being said, he was like, it's more about establishing Miami's future. And last year, just think about where you were on Mario January 8, 2025. Think about what you thought about Mario.
It was the same old Mario.
Hell, think about what we thought about Mario after SMU.
Yeah.
Because Louisville, I'm like, ooh, it don't look good. Beck's crumbling. He's throwing picks. And then I'm like, eh, you can stub your toe. Louisville's coached really well. And then you lose to SMU, who didn't have an awful season, but they're SMU, you're Miami. Yeah. And I'm like, nah, this dude don't have it. And I had done a segment earlier in the year of like, Mario could win a title. Then I was like,
they're your Bears of college football.
They really were my Bears of college football.
You
got to
learn your lesson next year. Don't flip it. You got to stick it.
But he's such a unique dude because we know more than almost any other region outside of Miami how much talent that dude's able to stockpile.
Yes.
It's just a matter of him getting out of his own way. And so far this year, stubs his toe a couple times. He's gotten his team to perform
at the best in the biggest moments.
Well, I think the scary thing about Mario always was, if you were going against him, especially in moments like this, is the concern for Mario has never been, and I said this going into the Ohio State game, like, it's never been a question of can he get his team up for a big game. Sans the end of his Oregon run, where he was actively interviewing with Miami, and clearly just that thing crumbled in the back half of the year, and Utah killed him twice, once in Salt Lake and once in the Pac-12 championship game. Outside of that in his career, the strength of Mario has always been big games. He's found a way. Like, he beat Chris Peterson when Oregon wasn't very good, and they were still a playoff-contending team in that C.J. Verdell walk-off game that landed him Kayvon Thibodeau. Like, that was early on in his tenure. That was a massive win for Oregon. It ended their losing streak against Washington. Washington was the much better program at that point. But what happened from then on out? Their season kind of crumbled the rest of the way. Earlier this year, they beat Notre Dame, and then it's Louisville. Where'd that come from? Or SMU? Where'd that come from? It's never Ohio State. He beats him, and then 2 weeks later, he loses 3-9 Stanford. It's never been a question of can he get his team ready for big games, and that's what's scary about them the rest of the way.
Let me ask you this question. In an alternate world where Mario says, thanks, Miami, I love you, maybe I'll be there at some point in my life, but I got it going right now. The way that, you know, I do think he generally loved being in Eugene.
Yeah, it was an alma mater thing. I get it.
Well, and also he had some family stuff that was going on in Miami. It's Miami. All of that stuff just lined up. If he's in Eugene and Lanning's never at Oregon.
Yeah.
Is he in this situation with Oregon if they go to the Big Ten?
I do think so, yeah. I do think so.
You do think so?
I don't know if it would have been the same win-loss record of the last 4 years that Dan Lanning has put up.
And you don't maybe feel the same way you feel about Dan Lanning because of the rah-rah and the relatability. Yeah.
There's a lot more there with Lanning, but he can recruit and acquire talent as good as anybody in the sport.
So you would have had, because I'm not trying to call you out here, but I know when he left, some Duck fans were like, yeah, okay, be honest with you, terrible game management.
I mean, I still have those questions about him. I still do, even though they beat Ohio State and they've won a lot of big games this year.
The A&M game was pretty good.
It was good, yeah.
The Notre Dame game, winning that one, that came down to the wire. I just wonder, it's just interesting because I think at that point when he left, people were like, is it just tapped out to this?
Yeah.
Is it ever?
The sport has
better.
Also evolved a lot at the moment he left,
yes,
right? Where the portal has gotten more active and NIL has become a bigger deal and openly spending for guys, and that's seriously not an issue for Oregon, so they would have been able to acquire talent. So, yeah, I don't know about winning a national championship. I don't know if Lanning will. I mean, I can't see into the future, but I still think he would have continued to build talent. And if you can acquire enough talent, it can overcome deficiencies, and that's been the story of Mario's career. Like, I get it that he's won a couple of big games. I still think a lot of the clock management and play calling and in-game decision stuff can rear its ugly head, just like it can for Lanning. If he goes for it on fourth down a bunch of times tomorrow night, what's the big takeaway going to be if they lose, if they don't get those fourth downs?
They come up short, yeah.
He's going to get killed in the media, and that's just the way that it works. So that's Mario is not the only coach that goes through that. But the reality of college football, and this is where I've always pushed back against people, because there's that meme that'll float around in the offseason of people making fun of Oregon fan of like, yeah, tell us about your recruiting class again. Like, Jimmy's and Joe's are the lifeblood of the sport, man. If you can go get elite players, it doesn't really matter how good or bad of a coach you are. You can overcome certain things. I give him credit for evolving a little bit offensively. He did that last year with Cam Ward, more so than maybe he's done in years past. And I think he's showing you a blueprint of what he showed in one of his final seasons at Oregon, where you go back, where I will give Carson Beck a ton of credit. In that Ohio State game, you know what he did? He used his legs much more than he had all season long.
Yeah.
And we saw him do that with Herbert at the end where he won the Rose Bowl. And you're like, why didn't he run? Why didn't he run? And then three rushing touchdowns in the Rose Bowl. So maybe they've taken the restrictor plates off of Carson Beck. He's not a great athlete. But him scrambling and picking up 4, 5, 6 yards here or there was massive in keeping the chains moving for their team.
He had tough runs in that game, too. Putting his body on the line, diving for first downs. That's kind of what I meant when I said I thought he played well. Like, his numbers don't look amazing, but it was just – it's no different than Indiana's running game against Oregon and Eugene. It's not stellar when you look at the box score. I just thought it was timely, right?
Like and Mendoza had a lot of big runs in that game.
Right. So it's very similar of how I felt about Beck. I didn't think he lit the world on fire, per se. It was more just like he was willing to put his body in line, pick up the first down with his legs, and they were able to move the sticks a little bit early in that game, and the defense settled in. So
another part of this that I didn't even contemplate, and I don't know why I didn't, because we've known it for a while. If Miami wins the game, listener just texted this in. If Miami wins, they get a home game for the national championship.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that after
we talk about that after the first
win? When they beat A&M, we're like, they're going to Miami.
Awesome. That's cool. That's great. my team somehow finds a way to win tomorrow.
If you play your ex,
go play my ex, and it's a home game in Miami. Are you kidding me? Can we play this thing at the Moda Center? Can we put a football field down?
100%.
What's happening? This is ridiculous.
We'll get into Oregon, Indiana coming up in the third hour. We've got some audio. We got a coach winning coach of the year, but maybe not thinking he's coach of the year. We've got the favorite in the game saying we're actually the underdog. I always find that interesting. So we'll get to that. We'll get to some more NFL stuff today. It's Magic Hat Thursday. So we'll get to that in the 9 a.m. hour. Dirt and Sprague back with the Blazers getting a win against the Rockettes. Denny Avdia, awesome. And it comes down to the wire. We'll get to that coming up next. They did it again.
You know what they call that? A winning streak.
They do call that. It's a four-game winning streak.
One, two, three, four. Count them up. Four in a row.
Six of their last seven.
Right after Sprague buried them. How dare you? How dare you?
Don't put that on me. That was swag. Don't confuse a swag with a Sprague.
The jinx is going strong.
It
evidently
is.
Evidently, you have the ability to not only kill, but revive.
Oh, dude.
The power is known to Sprague.
The swag.
The power that you have in those fingers. I'm a little scared right now. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little intimidated.
Dirt had to walk Patrick through my ability to jinx teams.
Yes. Yeah. He came in. He wasn't quite sure of the full history there and the powers that you possess, man. Everybody's been trying to figure it out.
41 points last night for Denny Avdia. I don't know if you've heard this. He's having a great year.
That's what I've heard. People keep telling me.
He was unbelievable last night. I feel like every basket he got came with an and one.
I think he had four for the game.
Many of them.
There's no way it was only four. I swear to God, every basket was
it
a whistle.
Felt like 37.
Now,
and
he
one.
Fell down every time he went to the rim. That's true.
I told my brother-in-law this, and I really do believe this. Like, I would loathe him.
Despise him.
If I was a Rockets fan last night watching, because he's really good at initiating.
Yes, he is.
I would hate that guy.
He's the epitome of the guy that you love him when he's on your team, and when he's not on your team, you hate everything about him.
He's not, like, in your face. He's not talking. He does do the John Cena, don't look at me, or whatever that means.
Can't see me!
Can't see me!
Can't see me!
He does do that quite often, but man, 41 points last night, ties his career high. Shaden drops in another 20 for you.
Hit a big three late in the game, too.
Tamani is playing stellar defense and losing a tooth over it.
Yeah, how about that? They said they're going to put it in the box after the game, I saw Tiago said. Slide that thing in the box, no big deal.
If you don't know what the box is, Tiago Splitter, and I love this. This is the fun part of coaching that people don't talk about enough. It's trying to be creative and have fun with your team. And he has created a defensive box.
Yes.
And every night, they announce who their player of the game is, and they put the name in the box. The box is locked. He has not told anybody what happens at the end of the year, but something about this box will elicit either a prize or something.
And we need the Brad Pitt drop. What's in the box?
And last night, Tamani won defensive player of the night, so they took the tooth that he got hit out of Finney Smith's head, or yes, Dorian Finney Smith's head, top of the dome, and they put the tooth in the box. Just great.
Just going to hang out in there for another couple of months? Oh. I mean, you got all these names and pieces of paper. You reach in there, you got a tooth, too?
Well, and then it comes down to the wire. The Blazers don't play particularly stellar basketball in the fourth quarter. The Rockets come back in the second half. They're down 10. They cut into the lead. They go into the fourth quarter. They get outscored 28-24 in the third, 27-22, and the Cardiac Blazers are a finger away.
Yeah, it's a millisecond away.
From losing that game on a Tari Eason putback, and they beat the Rockets 103 to 102.
I mean, look, every time you stack up wins, especially against good teams who are playing good basketball, it is going to make people continue to believe here locally. Like, it's just going to continue to grow. When that happened, I thought it was good. I think the Rockets celebrated on the floor. You thought the game's over. Oh my God, what another devastating loss. Feels like we've been through a handful of those. To your point, I think you're left looking in the mirror and saying, why does Portland always do this? You build a lead, you play great for 70% of the game.
Can I tell you why?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've seen that. I saw the timeline this morning. I was not on the timeline during the game.
Sure, last night during the game.
So I wake up this morning, I get on our show timeline, and I see a lot of that. Like, can you guys just close these out? And I just respond with, do you think this team is amazing?
No.
Their ability it should just point blank be enough.
Yeah, it's valid. I mean, it's valid. No doubt about it. Just win the game. There's no pictures on the scorecard, so it doesn't matter if you win by one or win by 17. But it just they seemingly have found a way to do a couple of boneheaded things in close games late, miss a free throw, not box out, not grab a rebound when you need to.
They had to play Sidy Sissoko 16 minutes. He gave you zero.
He didn't score at all.
They had to play Young Hansen for 17, and he, oh my God.
The Younger was out there balling last night, dude, taking threes, putting the ball on the floor, attacking the hoop.
How about the missed dunk?
The future is bright. The building would have lit up if he made that dunk, though.
Getting fouls and then being stumped that he was called for a foul.
What was that? What's going on?
Traveled at one point just looking to pass. I had Hasan Jin. I had PTSD kick in a little bit last night watching, like, why is he getting so many minutes?
That was
a
first round pick. And to answer your question, who else are we going to play? What else do we got, Bob?
Caleb Love gave you something yesterday.
He did. He got off to a good start. Hit some shots early. Yeah. I don't think he did. I don't know how many he scored in the second half.
He trailed off in the second. I mean, he shot 4-12.
He helped out early in the game, kind of settle in. I mean, look, the reality for this team night out is if Denny's elite, you got a chance to win. And if you just get something from everybody else, you'll have a
puncher's
chance.
Donovan didn't have a great game.
He didn't have a great game, but he still, I think Casey had, I don't know.
2 of 6 from three.
Yeah, and I don't know what it ended up being in total, but Casey had a tweet that I was just perusing the timeline while watching the game where he basically said since the start of December, so we're now going on, you know, a month and
we're
a
going
week,
on month two,
over
yeah.
a month, he's shooting over 50% from three.
Well, he started out 2 for 2.
And I think it was after those two, so maybe you're, you know, ebbed a little bit below that, but then again, you're talking about a large sample size there of a guy who's shooting the ball really well. I mean, I know he didn't make a ton in the back half of the game, but he's finding a way to have an impact on the offensive end.
Did you see Tari Eason's postgame?
I did not see what Tari Eason said postgame.
So they asked him, because I don't know how many. I'll go count. I'll take your word that he got 4 and 1s, but it really felt like he had 6 or 7.
It felt like a lot.
And Tari Eason was asked by the media scrum, hey, man, like, what happened? How did he get so many and ones? And Tari Eason goes, zebras. And then there was a follow-up question, and he went, zebras is the only word he said. He just kept saying zebras. And I'm like, well,
I mean, he's not wrong.
Clearly frustrated that Denny, like, say this about Denny, and as great as the season has been for him, 15 free throw attempts.
That's a lot.
We used to hate James Harden for that.
I mean, I hate SGA for
that. So it's great
that
we have a James Harden on our team.
I mean, again, it's the guy that you can't stand when he's on the other team, and you love him when he's on your team. It's not the prettiest brand of basketball to watch. It's not the most aesthetically pleasing brand of basketball to watch.
It's just bulldozing your way in.
I'm going to get the ball, and I'm going to go to the paint, and you're probably going to foul me, and they're probably going to blow a whistle. And if I happen to make this layup, guess what? We're going to get an and one out of this bitch. And that's just the brand of basketball that he plays. And to this point, and because of how physical and how aggressive he is, there's not really much the defenses can do. I understand their frustration and fouls that get called. I understand Eason after the game, like, man, they're blowing the whistle constantly. Like, that's the reason Denny Avdia had a dominant game and we couldn't stop him. But there's also more to it than that, right? Like, he's shooting the ball a little bit better than we maybe thought coming into the year. He's been incredibly efficient from the floor. And then you add in the fact that he's getting to the free throw line that many times on the majority of games that he's playing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's a wagon right now, man.
Yeah, he's absolutely all NBA level.
Yes.
There's not even a doubt in my mind. He's playing at an all NBA level right now. He was awesome last night, tying his career high 41. He had a sick little buzzer beater to kind of just keep some momentum going and some energy up.
Yeah.
So Denny Avdia is great. Portland wins 103 to 102. They actually take on the Houston Rockets again. I was nailing the play-by-play with my wife in bed.
Excuse me, what?
Well, we were watching this game in my bedroom.
I was thinking of dudes.
What? Baby oil and cucumbers.
What are you doing over there?
No, last night I was too tired. As soon as I turned off the post-game interview with Denny,
trying now to get a reference for that on every day.
That's
every show.
The cucumber
in
baby
2026.
Oil. I mean, it's an all-time, would you shut up, and it ended up producing just a great moment in my life.
It really did.
So I'm watching this game, and the wife is studying for a test just take for work, and I'm just saying out loud, don't shoot it, you idiots. You can't make anything. And the Rockets might have missed 8 straight. Like, oh, that's a miss.
Yep. Clank, clank.
That's the possession clank. Where they got like 5 straight offensive
over
rebounds?
And over over again.
This is the part of the NBA where I agree with some sports fans. Like, when you're shooting 8 of 36... Yeah. They clearly were not going to hit threes
night. You know what the Rockets could actually use?
22%.
C.J. McCollum.
They could use a bucket getter for sure. Yeah. I think the Fred VanVleet injury happening right before the year just
destroyed
crushed
them. Yeah.
Because that contract ain't cheap, dude.
I also don't know, like, you know me. I'm not watching a lot of non-Blazer NBA. And to my knowledge, it's the first time we played Houston, or have we played them before? Did we play them in Houston earlier this year?
I thought we had one other game in November.
Well, anyways, I always have takeaways of teams when I see them for the first time or maybe second time. And the other takeaway was Reed Sheppard. Oof, buddy.
And they're relying on him.
Oof.
A great deal.
Of that 3 of 22, he was 1 of 7 of them. Like, let's get the memo, buddy. They're not going in tonight.
Well, Smith was 1 of 7 from 3.
Yeah.
And Thompson was 1 of 4. Reed Sheppard's 1 of 7.
I mean, really outside of KD, they didn't have much offense.
Tari Eason shooting. I'm just like, why are you shooting so many threes? You're too athletic. Go to the cup.
Go ahead, buddy. Keep chucking them up all you want.
So the Blazers get a big win last night. We'll get to the Ducks in Indiana coming up in the third hour. We got a Magic Hat Thursday to get to as well. Dirt and Sprague back with more. 7:46 on the Fan.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Mike McDaniel got fired. We can talk about that at some point today. Oregon, Indiana. We're going to see more Duck fans at this one than the last one, or are they hoping for the next one?
It's in Atlanta, dude.
I know. I'm not saying it's cheap.
They're
going
to be outnumbered.
I mean, Indiana's going to show up.
7-1?
Yeah.
Would be my ballpark guess.
Well, Mark Cuban at this point is probably just going to pay for every Indiana fan to go to, because guess who got a daddy?
That was the one thing I was curious about when Dusty got back on the Orange Bowl, because they showed the crowd as the game, like the, you know, pregame, and here's the team's take, and it looked really empty. Dusty said it filled up, and Texas Tech fan was just, it was a road game for Oregon.
It's really expensive to go to these games.
That it is. It's a little bit easier to get from Lubbock to Miami. Yeah. We said that in the week leading up to the game, and it's easier to get from Bloomington to Atlanta.
So we'll talk about Oregon and Indiana today. We'll get back into some NFL stuff. As I mentioned, the Dolphins did indeed fire their head coach. They just didn't want to do it on Black Monday like every other team did.
No, you got to wait a couple more days. They obviously got new evidence in the last few days.
Is that a reaction to Harbaugh? Does Stephen Ross think
he's... 100%.
Yeah.
1,000%.
That could have been the team that was talking to him, but now Harbaugh's saying he's not talking to anybody for a week. Yeah. Said, leave me alone.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
I understand that from his point.
I'd take a year off if I were him.
I forgot to ask you guys, what did you think of the foul, no foul at the end of the game last night? Because I'm being genuinely here. I don't know how many years now Calabro Hurd have been the crew.
I've never heard him that angry.
When
you have a forearm like that in the back, that's almost, I've never seen, I've sit right next to the review monitor.
It was called a foul initially.
Yeah.
Tari Eason tips the ball up. He gets it. I thought in real time it was a steal because I couldn't see the angle.
Right.
And then they show the replay. Houston challenges it. And they basically say it's
marginal contact,
and they give Houston
when
the ball.
When you have a forearm
shot
bent like that on a back and extend it, I've never seen that overturned.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's calls that go each way throughout the course of the game, so I try not to get too worked up about it, but when you have one at a pivotal moment like that, it's a little bit more egregious, and I agree. I had the same reaction as Calabro watching.
Oh, you were that pissed off?
I was that pissed off. Yeah. I'm just like, how?
I'm in two spots here. I totally see. I'm in a situation where I would say what Swag is saying. You call a foul, it should stay a foul.
Yeah.
I also, if I'm Ime Udoka, I actually don't think it was that hard a contact. I just think you're looking at a 6'9", 6'10 player against
the size
a
6'1
guy.
Yeah, the size difference affects it.
I didn't
for sure
find him to be overly egregious. I think it's sometimes the size differences, that's where they kind of check in. So
yeah.
I wasn't as mad as you and Calabro. I was just surprised how, like, Calabro, he was kind of screaming on that broadcast.
I mean, that building was juicy last night, and I wondered how much of that had to do with
it. Right in front of him, he saw it.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Well, and also, it's called a foul.
I know.
And you go back and watch, like, you should just not overturn it, but then they did overturn it. We all thought they wouldn't, and then they did.
Right.
And I did see, like, they panned out at one point on the broadcast.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, good poll on finding an Urkel photo as quick as they did, because Jahlil White was courtside last night.
Steve Urkel was sitting courtside.
Well, he's doing a book tour.
Oh, is that what it was? I missed that part. I just saw the pictures of him on social media.
And so they showed him, and the crew brought up, the broadcast did a good job bringing up a photo. But
is he Stefan now?
There was a lot of Rocket fans there.
There were.
There was a moment where they panned out, and the Rockets, I think, got the ball. And I think it was when they announced the overturn. And you saw all of these people going crazy. I'm like, damn, dude, there's that many Rockets fans just showing up.
Did they travel in town because it's a back-to-back situation and you get two games out of one? So let's go on a vacation. You don't have to go to multiple cities.
Why would you come to Portland, though, at this time?
I can't imagine there's that many Houston fans in our area.
I think we're a little bit of a transient city. I think we have a lot of people moving in.
I also think we're burying the lead.
Oh.
How did Dirt feel about KD and Duck shoes?
Don't all of them come here and get Duck shoes?
I think a lot of it. He's done that before. He's worn Duck shoes before.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually, look, the KD stuff, he ruined the NBA for 4 years, and I'll never forgive him for that, but I've grown to appreciate him.
Mm. But also sometimes he does things, and I'm like,
I get it, but he's also like, how would you not be douchey if you're in that role? Like, I would be a total douche. I'm already
You'd
a douche.
You have burner accounts?
Probably, if I were Kevin Durant. I got a lot of time on my hands. He's got no families. You know, snapping back at people. Why not, man?
Does he not have family?
I don't know. That's
some
a good question.
In the streets. Might have a family.
Look, any branding is good branding. What do they say? Any publicity is good publicity, and Kevin Durant wearing those, as long as they're the right size and his toe's not on the line for a game winner wearing those bad boys, then it's great publicity.
I would say there's probably not an athlete on Earth that if they're wearing a shoe with the Oregon logo,
yeah, there's not anybody.
You're all in.
I'm all about it.
You can hate the athlete all you want. Yeah. Hell yeah, please wear the shoe.
Because then people talk about it. What are those shoes? Although I will say the idea, and this is the most fuddy-duddy take I'll have, and it drives me nuts every time I see it, and this is happening now in baseball too. It's infiltrated the sport of baseball. Wearing non-team color things makes my head explode.
Yeah, they looked a little brownish yellowish.
And
shoes,
this is just
a
KD thing. It's a, like, Denny will do this where he'll wear like lightning yellow shoes.
That's a big thing in basketball now.
I know. And it is in baseball where they wear the sleeves and the batting gloves that are different colors.
Yeah, Cunha wears yellow.
It's a whole thing.
Stand it. I
and
cannot
then you have
stand
the two
it.
Different color shoes now that you're doing.
I can't stand
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I've seen that before too.
I'm old. I get it. I'm out of the loop. My opinion doesn't matter, but I'll tell you, that's my react. Every time I turn on an NBA game and I see pink shoes and like a blue jersey, I'm like, just what are we doing here?
I'm shocked you guys haven't bought the rights to a NASCAR for a year.
We should. That'd be a good idea.
Just a big
O. An Oregon O going
and
around.
A duck all over the car. Final thing, and then we'll go to the third hour of the program and talk Oregon, Indiana, amongst other things. They won last night. I actually think they're going to beat them again. And we'll see if Shingun plays.
Yeah, what's the status on him? Was that a one-game thing, or is he out for a while?
I'll go look at his, because I don't know what they did their previous game, so I'll go look if he's going to be out for a while. But if he plays, it's different.
Yeah, for sure.
You guys with me? I think they should make a trade. I think they should try to be active for the trade.
Agree completely. Do something.
Yeah.
We all got pissed off when they wasted and just sat back during Dame's prime. We should have the same energy for Denny.
I mean, tanking is clearly not going to be the process this year.
You
lottery
drafted
balls.
A guy not ready to play. So the tanking thing might not be the direction to go.
I guess still the big giant mystery is, are any of those injured dudes going to come back and be a significant piece of...
And how many of those injured guys are available in trades?
Yeah.
How long are they out for? And if they're out for an extended period of time, are they available to
Jeremy's play? Available.
Yeah.
We know that.
I mean, I know he's available to be traded, but yes. Does a team want to take him not knowing what his calf situation
is? I don't know.
So
I know that's a tough thing.
That's a tough putt.
Blazers get a win. We move on. Oregon, Indiana is the coach of the year saying he's not coach of the year. And are the favorites really the underdogs?
What?
Oregon, Indiana, Chatta next, hour three on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.